Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I am thrilled today because with us we have Mitchell Levy. Mitchell is the AHA guy of AHAthat.com and CEO and thought leader architect at ThinkAHA.com. He and his team make it easy for corporations to easily create compelling content that help them turn their experts into recognized thought leaders. Mitchell's Amazon best-selling author with 56 business books, contributor at Entrepreneur Magazine, and has provided strategic counseling to over 100 companies. In addition to that, he contributes time making the average person out there who has a story to tell an author. So, Mitchell, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us.
Vicki, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
You know, I have to say, you're doing such wonderful work in the world. Can you tell us a little bit about what brought you to the passion and purpose you're feeling now about not only achieving tremendous success, but helping people achieve their success as well?
Yeah, happy to. It's interesting. The last time I actually worked for a corporation was 1997. I was working for Sun Microsystems and running the e-commerce component of Sun Supply Chain. Since 1997, I've worked out of my garage and started over 20 companies and have had tons of fun. But I realized when I was working for corporations, and particularly afterwards, what I often wanted to do is put a tool or put a framework in somebody's hands so they could do something better. So when I left Sun, I became a strategic consultant, and there was really a strategy, right? The tool was a framework, a strategy people can use. I then went on and created a book publishing company. We published over 800 titles, and that was called Happy About, started that in 2005. And so then what I did is I wanted to make it easy for people to publish books. And so we created a number of different imprints and a couple different series. And I went back to consulting. And one of the things that I had when I was originally consulting is as I was very busy and I got paid really well for what I was doing, but I didn't take advantage of the L word, which was leverage. Then I became a book publisher, and I learned very quickly what leverage was all about and how that worked. And nowadays, when I went back to consulting, there was one thing that I did, and I realized the importance, Vicki, of why this was relevant. The one thing I did is I was publishing physical books that were easy to write. They were comprised of 140 quotes. They were in our Think Aha series. It turns out that I love the Think Aha name so much, that's the name of the company, Think Aha. And what happened is we created an iPhone app. And the iPhone app was once you create your physical book, we then had an iPhone app that would help you share that book. And so when I put on my consulting hat for that second time, I looked at myself and I said, okay, how silly it was that I caused somebody or forced somebody to write a physical book before they got their ebook. I closed down the iPhone app. We created a new app, which is now called Aha That. And what's fascinating, and this is what I get super excited about, is we've had hundreds of authors use our processes to actually write their Aha book in 8 hours or less. What gets me excited is helping people reach their potential, not just giving them a tool or a framework, but giving them the opportunity where they could really become the best of who they can be. And it's one thing to do it strategy-wise, and it's another thing to do it where they actually get either a social media-enabled ebook or they get a physical book, and then they they start transforming themselves because they have this book. So I get passionate about that, about helping people be successful, because it's there's nothing greater in life.
You know, I think that's one of the things I love so much about what you do, only one of the things. But I also think really important, since, you know, we operate in the same space creating bestsellers, is what it does for others. I mean, we live in such a shared global environment, and when people get their stories out or their information or their wisdom out in a book, my gosh, not only does it do wonders for them, but it can really impact the world. It's so powerful. I think it's the most powerful vehicle I've ever encountered.
Yeah, exactly. There is nothing wrong with a book that's 100,000 words or 40,000 words or 25,000. What I can tell you, though, and this is where the aha that concept comes in. Let's assume you've created a bestseller. Somebody's purchased your book, whether it's Kindle or a physical book, and they've read it. And, you know, it took them a couple weeks to read. And then you ask them to fast forward. You say 6 months from now, you know, you go back to them and say, what did you remember? And typically they remember 1, 2, or 3 points. Now, the Aha That book is comprised of 140 bite-sized quotes. It'll take 10 to 15 minutes to read. And I guarantee you, you go back to that person 6 months down the road, they're going to remember 1, 2, or 3 points. Right. So the Aha That book, or the Aha book, is not for everybody, but it is for somebody who needs to quickly demonstrate that they're an expert in a particular space, because you're creating, you're digesting, you're summarizing important content that the consumer, and by the way, the consumer is not just the person who purchases or gets your book for free. The consumer is anyone who reads your content on social media, and I'll tell you that in a minute. But you're now digesting this content, these aha messages, into a format that your goal is to create an aha moment. Your goal is to turn and transcribe your reader into somebody who says, aha, I get it. I'm going to do it in a different way. And, yeah, so that's what's nice about books. The Aha That platform, Vicky, I was telling you a little bit beforehand, it's very nice because anyone who wants to come to this platform today can use the content for free. We've got 35,000 quotes that anyone has access to for free in seconds that you can, at a click of a button, share on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+. So one aspect of you being successful in today's world is having a good social media presence, sharing good, compelling content, and we've got 35,000 quotes you can share.
The next aspect, my gosh.
Isn't that cool?
Fabulous.
Well, here's where it gets really interesting. If you have an existing book, you can write an aha book that's based in that book. And once you put your content, so we charge to actually publish to the platform. But once you put your content in the platform, now anyone who's using the platform today can get access to it. Anyone you send, you get a customized URL, anyone you send. So let's fast forward a year, and let's say together we've put another 500 aha books out there. That's 500 times 140 potential quotes that the community is going to be sharing to their networks. And that's the cool part, is when you create an aha message, you're not just sharing it, but other people in the platform are sharing it, including your clients, who are then sharing it to their networks. So they're expanding your reach just by sharing good, compelling content. Pretty fun.
Oh, that is fun. And again, it's so wonderful for everyone concerned. It's so wonderful for the authors, and it's so wonderful, again, for people who need the information to be receiving that.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about some of the challenges you see authors facing and why they don't get published, because you've made it very easy for them. Obviously, there is a reluctancy for getting published, and the ease in which you've made it happen probably encourages so many, but there are still people that may be reluctant. What is that about?
Oh, you probably know the answer better than I, but I'll tell you some of the things I've encountered. There is always that person who, they don't write in short form. They can't write a single tweet, no, let alone 140, you know, bite-sized quotes. In order for it to be a book, they've always had in their mind that it's 300 pages and hardcover. It's going to take them 1,000 hours to do. And that person has a life, and that life is so busy, they never make time for their book. And when they finally make time for it, it's when they retire, and guess what? The book is no longer relevant, right? So that's one of the biggest issues I see is that in the corporate world, what I often see is I see a corporation having a concern about having the right brand. And their brand is one in which they want to be associated with a Wiley or Prentice Hall or some big brand publisher. And in the book publishing industry, as you well know, it's so easy to self-publish. It's so easy to use a hybrid publisher. By the way, my publishing company, ThinkAha, is a hybrid publishing company. It's so easy to do that. But these large companies want to go through the bigger guys. And when you're doing that sort of process, we're talking about from time to finish, you know, somewhere between 18 and 24 months. And it becomes so long, people don't think about it in terms of incorporating it into their marketing plan. So setting back and saying, hey, there's content that needs to be shared. And by the way, given that we just had a presidential election, there's a new world order. And there are people who have a take on where that order is and where it's going. And what's nice about being able to do a book in 8 hours versus 1,000 is that you can actually focus on very timely and current topics. And you could do things which have a shorter lifespan because, you know, it only took you a weekend day to do. And so I think what happens is people – They go through analysis paralysis. They spend too much time thinking about creating whatever they think is perfect, and they ultimately never get anything done. And so that's really – those are the biggest things that I see, you know, in terms of issues. There's also some people who can't write, and they – even though they can't write, they feel uncomfortable using a ghostwriter. And so I just – for those that are interested, ghostwriting is a lot easier. There's so many different ways that you can utilize a ghostwriter, but a ghostwriter doesn't mean they're writing at all. As a matter of fact, they could just be taking your words that you spoke into a recording, and they could take your words and turn that into a book. And so that's another thing. People just, they're not really up to speed with all the types of things they could do. And as you and I both know, the true core value that a book that is going to help the person, a book that is on the area that the person loves doing, is the book that is going to help change their lives. And many people just don't recognize how important it is for them to do that and how life-altering it's going to be.
Yeah, I think that that's true. And I've also found, and I don't know if you found this, some people feel their stories aren't big enough to tell. And sometimes it's the smallest stories that are really, really powerful, small from the standpoint that it's not attached to a lot of drama necessarily. I remember I interviewed a really prominent publisher and educator. She's really brilliant. And she wrote in one of her anthology books about performing on stage in pants and how she always wore jeans and she feels more comfortable in that. And how difficult it was for her to be able to accept that that was her and accept the fact that she could do that and still be considered an expert par excellence. And I thought, you know, that's just an example of a small story, but that changed people's lives about how they could be themselves, still be accepted, and still be fabulously well-known and wealthy.
And that's a great story. I like that. Yeah. I think what happens, because if you look back at the quintessential book, the Bible, it has grown beyond all proportions and measure. You know, and the Gutenberg Press came along, and then we've seen such beautiful books. And so many times people romanticize about their book being like the perfect book and having it be a bestseller, and even though the odds are like the same as winning a lottery, that it's going to be not just the bestseller in terms of bestseller status, but financially something that will allow them to buy their next house or retire, right? And those sort of things don't really happen, and so people are afraid because they're not going to achieve the success that they think they could achieve to even start. And what I might actually suggest that people do is rewrite their definition of success. Right? And if with the example you gave, if one or two or three people came back to them and said, "Man, I'm glad I read your story. You helped change the way I think about the world." That seems like success to me, right? So you just have to redefine what success is, and it will now open up opportunities for you to do more.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what I've seen too is that books are probably the most fabulous promotional material you could ever have in your life, especially a best-selling book or international best-selling book. They're so, again, powerful in what you want to do. So I kind of look at books sometimes almost like getting a credential, like a PhD, you know?
Vicki, I'm so excited you mentioned this. I don't normally talk this way, but so now if you take for granted that one can actually write an aha book in 8 hours or less, and then we turn that into a paperback and hardcover, and then we utilize your service to turn it into an international bestseller, imagine creating a PhD in 8 hours. How cool is that?
It is so unbelievably cool. And like a PhD, the title stays with you forever. It stays with you whether you're looking for press, whether you're looking for speaking engagements, whether you're looking for coaching engagements, whether you're looking to consult to huge corporations. It is going to open doors beyond belief. And I think if people look at it as a tool to be used in order to get to where they want to go in their life, as opposed to how many books they can sell, I think that's just more realistic these days, don't you, Mitchell?
Oh, you are speaking my language. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you, when I stand in front of a bunch of consultants, I'll ask them, you know, in terms of their book, I say, what do you want to write your book on? And I'll give them three choices. And 80% of the people choose choice number one, as 80% of people say they want to write a book on what they're an expert in. Okay. Number two is what you get paid for today. And 10 to 15% of the people raise their hand for that one. And then number three is what you get paid for tomorrow. And 5% of the people raise their hand on that one. And what I'm going to tell you is when you write your book, at least the types of books we're talking about, it is number three. You write your book on the topic of what you want to get paid to do tomorrow. And once again, if you can then get your PhD in that topic by creating a bestseller status, what does that do in terms of the doors it opens? It does a lot. It does a lot.
Yeah, no question about it. We're in such agreement on that from both of our considerable experiences in this space. And I just think it's wonderful when people start thinking about a book as the most powerful tool in business. And I think the most powerful tool in the world. I really do. And also the good that it does. So tell me a little bit about, you know, you've got tremendous success. You've always had tremendous success, but there must have been some challenges, especially when you started out in this world. Was there anything challenging for you that you have tips on how you overcame those challenges?
Well, no, you have to ask me something confrontational because we're in such agreement. We have to have a confrontational topic. But so, you know, I think what happens is there are many people who get a vision for who they want to be, and then they get delivered a present, right? An opportunity that will get them to the same place, but in a different path, and they don't even see the present. So a good example, when I started my consulting company way, way back when, I hung up my hat. This was 1997. I said, I'm a strategic consultant. I'm going to help you with your e-commerce efforts. And I talked to a ton of my friends, and one of my old bosses came to me and said, "Hey, Mitchell, what do you know about SEO? And I go, and this is 1997. Nobody knew anything about SEO. And I said, "Well, I don't know anything, but if you want me to figure it out, I'll learn the best there is." He says, "Well, I got a bunch of clients who want to pay me to do this, and I have nobody on my staff. Tell me what I should charge my clients, and what do you want to charge me?" And so I then went out. I bought every possible piece of literature and every program on SEO. I came back to him, and I said, "Listen, I think you should charge your clients $15,000, and I'll take 10. And within 3 weeks, we sold 5 of them. And what was interesting is when, just as a little bit about SEO, if you look at a website, it should include the key phrases that you typically use. So I'd go to the CEO or CMO, which was really my client at that time, and I'd say, give me your 30-second elevator pitch, because what I want to do is grab two or three keywords to use for SEO. 10 minutes later, I realized I had strategic consulting opportunity, and I turned two of those five clients into the type of work I wanted to do. And so that the challenge is, I could have easily said up front, oh, no, I don't want to do SEO. That's not for me. And I think how you overcome the challenge is always listen, always keep your eyes and ears open, pay attention to when the presence will come your way. You know, it's one of the phrases we often hear is the busiest person gets more work because they know how to get stuff done. So what happens, what I see a lot of people do, they get really busy. They get handed the best opportunity. They turn it down, or they don't see it, or they don't pursue it. And so that's really the problems I have. On a publishing front, I think one of the problems we always have is life keeps changing. You know, the big players were not big when they started. Once they become bigger, they start changing the rules. And I think continually figuring out how to morph with who you are and what you do is very important. You know, where you're going to make money and how you're going to make money. And I've run into many opportunities where I've had to change who I am and where I make money, because what happens is life changes. Probably one of the biggest changes for me was I was an e-commerce consultant during the dot-com days. And all of a sudden in 2001, there was the dot-bomb. You know, the stock markets crashed and nobody cared about e-commerce. And so the amount of money I was making speaking and consulting, and I was getting considerable money, went from nice fees to zero, almost literally overnight. And so then the question is, how do I deal with that, right? Do I take it personally and I think it's me? Or actually what I did was, well, the market changed. There was nothing I could do about it. And what that helped me understand, and I think this is important for anyone who's listening, is having multiple revenue streams is important, because a revenue stream that's working today may turn off tomorrow. And if you got a couple other going on, they may become the most important ones. And I think for me, that's always been my I've always wanted to do more than one thing at once. And we typically do, because, you know, you just don't know where the future revenue is coming in tomorrow. And also how you can start pulling this stuff together to help service your customer better.
Oh, I so agree with you. And it's so interesting because you made a couple of really good points. And I'll just share my example. I modeled when I was young, and I got sick of being told what to do by photographers and agencies. So I decided I wanted to go the other side of the camera. And I opened an ad agency when I was 24, and it was tremendously successful and sold it 3 years later, where it was acquired. And I knew nothing about advertising when I opened the ad agency. But the beautiful thing, even back then when you didn't have the web, the beautiful thing was that you could learn anything you needed to, just like you did. You went out and found out about SEO, whatever you need to make it happen. It's out there. And the other thing, I don't know if you found this, but some of the work that I've done, particularly in consulting, has seemed a little disjointed. And when I got into the publishing realm and wanted to really help authors, I found that I needed every bit of experience I had ever learned in my life in order to do what I do today.
Yeah.
There was not one wasted experience, not
one. Well, you know, it's really funny when I go to a cocktail party and somebody starts telling me a story, and they say, I'm probably boring you. And I'm like, no, publisher, right? <'Cause>, You know, you want to hear people's stories, and it's really where sometimes you have to bite your tongue is because of the experience you've had by talking to so many people and learning so much, is you've got to sometimes figure out when to give advice and when not to, right? Because,
yeah,
you know, we become the ultimate consumer of practices and best practices. And that's part of one of the things I learned. I got really good at doing process and process improvement. I learned that when I was at Sun in those days, and I've now carried that forward into what I do now. So, here's a great lesson. I just realized this. I always thought using folks internationally, because they're so inexpensive, was absolutely the way to go. You know, I've heard all the stories, and I said, oh, I know I can make this work. And so I hired a VA and had a firm using a virtual assistant. You know, and I was paying, I don't know, $3-4 an hour. I mean, some crazy number. And I hired them full time. And for 8 months, I had 4 different people cycle through, and I couldn't get it to work. Right? We'd have great conversations. I would definitely get everyone to nod and say exactly what they wanted. And we all agreed. And then the results weren't what I wanted. And I knew it had to be me. It wasn't them. Right? Because they were just doing their best. Typically, Filipino resources, they try their best to make you happy. They just don't understand what happy is in your context. So what I ended up doing, you'll love this, Vicki, is I became very ISO 9003 certified. I basically learned how to document the processes. And so today I use Google Docs. So you use Google Doc to document a very specific process, one in which anyone could use. And all of a sudden I was getting exactly what I wanted. And it was, but it took me a while. I mean, at least 8 or 9 months of kind of pulling my hair off and spending time trying to help people be successful. And now, you know, we pay, you know, $3-4 for our cover designers an hour, right? And so maybe I spend a little bit more time trying to get the right thing. Sometimes it's perfect, sometimes it needs help. But I've got processes in place that take care of the entire book publishing process. And I think some people are not interested in developing processes to the type of extent that we did. And I think that's also a good lesson to learn. If you can document it so that other people can do it, don't be afraid that your job will go away. Be happy that somebody else is doing it and you're doing something else.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And a lot of what I did for 30 years was process reengineering for Fortune 500 companies with their CEOs and their team. So I so hear what you're saying. And it's so important because it gives people the opportunity to really thrive where they may struggle if that wasn't in place. So I really applaud you on doing that. That's wonderful, really wonderful. So with what you're doing, where do you see it going? What's your vision for your company?
That's a great question. So it depends if I'm giving my dream vision or my real vision. And I'll do a mixture of the two. But, you know, we've got 500,000 users at the moment. I'd love to see it at 500,000,000. I would like anyone who's in business who can find a way that where they want to deliver their expertise and just demonstrate their expertise to use the platform. My dream vision is, I think back in way back when President Clinton was still in office, he had mentioned in one of his speeches that there were 30,000 people making a living off of eBay. And I was so impressed that a company came out of nowhere and created all these jobs for people to be essentially entrepreneurs. Uber's a great example now. I'd love to hear the numbers of how many people are making a living off of Uber as Uber drivers. I'd love to be 10, 20, 30,000 people who are making a living off of Aha That. And that would be an amazing milestone for me to cross.
Oh, that is so lovely. Really lovely. And again, it's that service thing about, to me, so much about success is the service that you provide for the world. And I think that is just so amazing. So I wanted to ask you this question, and it may be a little odd, but I have a favorite object in my life, a physical object that was left to me by my mother. It's a kitchen utensil, but it reminds me of her making pancakes, and it makes me so happy and smile when I see it. And because of all of my moving around consulting, it's one of my fondest things that I still have from her. So if you were to think of something, a physical object that was meaningful to you, can you tell us what it would be and why it's meaningful?
Sure. Well, my favorite physical objects are my wife, quickly followed by my son, because they are everything. My wife would say my favorite physical object is my laptop, so I could work anywhere, or my son might say my cell phone so I could play Pokemon. If I was going to settle on a physical object, what I'm sort of thinking about is, what, as a guy, I don't kind of remember the Christmas gifts people give me or birthday gifts. So there was one thing I do remember, and that is my wife, probably 25 years ago, got me a set of poker chips. And we have a regular game. It used to be once a month. Now it's maybe once a quarter. But we have a regular game with the boys, and they come over and we play poker. And it's that one gift I remember who got it for me. And so, you know, it's what I like when I am playing Pokemon or playing poker, is that I let my mind sort of drift a little bit and I'm not thinking about work. Because, you know, as an entrepreneur, you are constantly thinking about the next thing and what you can do and how you could focus. And I am always on. And so I think part of the poker chips and that's been replaced by the cell phone and Pokemon is the, I don't have to be on when I'm playing. And so it frees up the mind to let some really cool thoughts come in.
Oh, that is such a lovely story. And while we're talking about gifts, when you think about the gift that you're giving to the universe with your work and the wonderful things you're doing for authors and the things you've done for others in the past, what would the ultimate gift be to the universe, like a legacy? What does that look like for you?
I think I kind of answered that before. For if I could point to, so architecturally, I think I like the platform I created. I mean, we could use a ton more programming work and lots of stuff happening. We recently did a Kickstarter and we hit 250% of goals. So now I have a development fund to do more stuff. But I think legacy wise, to have people use this platform in a way that I hadn't envisioned. Right, to have people figure out how to help themselves be more successful or how to make money or how to do things that just weren't part of my original plan, that's kind of because legacy means you put something in place and it keeps working, right, over and over. And it's, you buy a building and buildings are cool, but eventually buildings get torn down and another building gets put in place. If I could create something that people are using to help themselves today and tomorrow, that would be the ultimate legacy. And at some point in time, it's sort of like, you know, looking at the Mona Lisa, how many people could say who the painter was, right? But the Mona Lisa has lasted well beyond, you know, what's the story and what's the painting behind it. So being able to create something that lasts for a while that people are using in ways that I didn't envision, that would be a pretty cool legacy.
That would be very cool. And what's so great about what you're doing is that it's so possible because you're having people tap into, sometimes for the very first time, you know, their deepest creativity and their deepest talents that they want to give to the world. So I can see that happening. I really can, Mitchell.
Oh, cool. Well, thank you. Well, what's nice, I mean, the super thing, and I like to press the easy button if you don't mind. So the easy button is A, you got content to share on AHA That, 35,000 quotes. That's the first one. So that's my first easy button, right? The second is being able to write a book in 8 hours or less, which you could then have turned into physical books. And the third easy button, and we hadn't really talked about this yet, is when you actually write your AHA book, you don't have to then spend incremental time putting your social media together on how to market that book. Because when you write your AHA book, you are writing your social media marketing plan for 1 to 2 quarters. Because you're putting together 140 quotes that are then easily shared on social. So it's kind of a triple win when you're doing something along these lines.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And again, sparking that inner creativity in the author to do more things and think out of the box and, you know, utilize your platform possibly for things beyond even your imagination. So I love it. And I love what you're doing in the world, Mitchell. I really do.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, actually, based on our conversation, I love what you're doing too. I'm looking forward to learning more and playing together sometime in the not too distant future.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know that our listeners are going to want to learn how they can connect with you and play more with you and all the things that you're doing that are so creative. So is there a place where they can connect with you on the web?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, if you Googled Mitchell Levy, so M-I-T-C-H-E-L-L space L-E-V-Y, I'll pretty much come up in the 4 or 5 of the top 10 will be something that will reach me. You could always connect to me on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook. If you're going to do that, let me know why, because Facebook has a 5,000 person limitation. So I'm just being a little more cautious on that. I've got 12,000 followers on LinkedIn and I'm happy to connect to you there. You could also go to Aha That. And if you go to ahathat.com/author, we have our 8-step publishing process clearly identified, and it's an opportunity for you to go there and just use it. And then, of course, on the website is contact information for me or for my team. And if you just mention that you heard me on this show and you'd like Mitchell to get involved, my team will pass whatever information you share over to me, and I'll do my best to respond in a reasonable time frame.
Fabulous. So can you give the link one more time? I just want to make sure everyone got it and they can take advantage of all the wonderful tools that are there and connect with you.
Oh, sure. It's ahathat, ahathat.com. So ahathat.com. And that will just bring you to the site. And you can always click on the word author, or you go to ahathat.com/author. And two of the tools that are interesting is we have a single-page PDF on how to do marketing, and we have a single-page PDF on how to write a good aha message. And that's steps 2. And although it's an 8-step process, it's steps 9 and 10 because – marketing is more important than anything else we do. So it's there's a lot of content there for you to take advantage of and to use, and I'd like you to do that.
Oh, lovely. Thank you so much, Mitchell. It's been just wonderful spending time with you, and I really appreciate your generosity of spending your time with us and sharing your wisdom and also the great gifts that await everyone at your website. So thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure, Vicki. This was absolutely fun. I appreciate your interview style and you as a person.
Oh, thank you. And for everyone out there, if you would like to learn more about Expert Insights Publishing, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, our global broadcast and communities, you can find us at getei.com. That's GETEI.com. And everyone have a wonderful week.